Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning to you and welcome aboard. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, a Brendan Dart, Tom Daly production. It is Tuesday, September 26, 2017. Enjoyable Monday night game last night, minus the result if you're a Redskins fan, with the Cowboys beating the Cardinals 28-17. They needed to come roaring back in the fourth quarter. Give Dak Prescott credit. He made a bunch of big plays, a couple of touchdowns through the air. Ezekiel Elliott got to 80 yards and a score for Dallas. Arizona's not that good, but it looked for three quarters like they were going to win. My one takeaway from that game, Larry Fitzgerald is one of the great NFL players of my lifetime.
My favorite non-Redskin. I loved him in college, loved him coming out of the draft, the same year as Sean Taylor. I love Larry Fitzgerald. Have always loved him.
13 catches, 149 yards, and a score. 34 years old, he's not slowing down at all.
It's like going to one of these like county fairs, and you see a pony that stands on its hind legs, and you go, that's awesome, what else can it do? And then you find out that it can't. That's Arizona's offense. They're going to Larry Fitzgerald. They don't have any other options.
Is the bloom off the Bruce Arians rose?
I think he's kind of stuck with a roster that's slowly wilted and gotten a little bit worse, and they're on this Carson Palmer train, and they've been on it three stops past where they should have gotten off and developed a new quarterback.
In fairness to Palmer, though, Palmer played well last night. He actually was really effective moving around in the pocket. It never looks pretty. He threw for 325 and two, didn't turn the ball over, had to throw it almost 50 times. I blame Arians a little bit. They have no running game and no balance. Now, David Johnson got hurt.
That hurts your balance.
But even when David Johnson is there, they don't run it that often. You mean to tell me that in some smorgasbord of carries between Andre Ellington, Chris Johnson, and Kerwin Williams, you can't put a formidable rushing attack together? They don't even try to. And Palmer, in a very close game, threw it almost 50 times last night.
A couple years ago, they had all these pieces on defense. They were just flying around, getting after the passer. And slowly but surely, as happens a lot of times in the league, guys play well. The league notices, and people want your players. So guys like Calais Campbell are gone here in town. J.J. Swearinger is gone. You lose, you matriculate, and some of the new guys haven't quite stepped in and dominated. So they're not, they don't have that incredible flying around unit as they once did, and their offense has slowly gotten worse too.
They also suffered with the loss of Todd Bowles, who is the mastermind of that defense, who's now the head coach for the moment. I'm looking at my watch to see what time it is, of the New York Jets. And this will probably be his last season as their head coach. So maybe he can go back to Arizona and dial up some defenses. But I think that was a big loss. More importantly, within the division, Dak Prescott in the first 2.5 or so quarters was just okay. He made a couple of huge winning throws, though, down the field out of the pocket. This reminded me and was reminiscent of a Russell Wilson in his first season in Seattle kind of game, where for the first few quarters, he's just okay. He's just another guy on the field. There's nothing really happening. But then when it's winning time, and it's time to go out there in the games and the balance, he was going to make the big throw or two that you needed. He was going to make the big playoff schedule. Prescott did that. Ezekiel Elliott was bottled up again. If you took away his one long run of this game, he ran 21 times for 50 yards. I don't know how or when, Danny, but the best offensive line in football, Dallas, I was looking up some of the numbers of the analytics department, like PFF and places like that, some of the numbers are theirs that I actually like, not grading players out, but where they say how many yards before a guy gets contact.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting hit in the backfield and at the line of scrimmage way more often than he did last year. Their running game is taking a step backward.
Somebody has figured something out about how to stop them. I don't know how. I don't know what it is exactly. Because last year, everyone knew it was coming, too. Everyone knew the fastball was coming. And he came out of the bullpen, Aroldis Chapman style, throwing the fastball, running their stretch plays, running their counters, running their power stuff, and you couldn't stop it. Somehow now it's being stopped. I don't know whether it's the one subtle shift of having Collins at right tackle. I don't know what it is exactly. I do know this. Elliott can't get going. Once he does get ahead of steam, he's tough to bring down. The first contact, we saw it a million times. I have always thought he's the most overrated player in the league simply because behind that offensive line, they've got three straight guys rushing for you know, 1,800 yards to DeMarco Murray, well over 1,000 in Darren McFadden. Elliott got the benefit of it last year. Now he's not really able to make magic on his own, and he's getting stuffed. And I understand that's not his fault. He's still pretty good, but he's not the world beater that everyone thinks he is. And that line isn't doing what we're used to seeing him do. It's confusing to me. I would just wonder why. If somebody found some little key code on film and decided we'll adopt that into our defensive scheme, and maybe Denver set the blueprint. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, though, because when the Redskins finally play them in like 6 months, it's the weirdest thing. We play Philly twice before we play Dallas. Maybe the Redskins will have that same key code and not let them shove it down our throats with Ezekiel Elliott a whole bunch.
To that point, though, I watched the Giants. I'm not scared of playing them the two times that you have to. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to beat them or not get swept by them. But those
are
winnable
games. You mean Giants or
Cowboys? No, Giants, but I'm getting to the Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
I watched the Cowboys, and I think the same thing last night. This is not a team that I don't want to play. This is a team that I'm absolutely willing to go play twice. That's four games. That's a huge bulk of your schedule. Does Dallas look as insurmountable and as much a juggernaut as people thought they might be? No. Do the Giants, who we both said, that's an 11-win type team. They're 0-3 right now in a mess. That's four games on the schedule that we would have said the Redskins are best going to go 2-2 in, maybe go 1-3 in. Why can't they go 2-2 and perhaps 3-1 in those games? They obviously lost to the Eagles already, but that's a toss-up game when you play them again. It is Tuesday, by the way, which means Redskins Survivor. Book 1045 for when we'll make our predictions on Redskins Survivor. We'll kick somebody off the island. After week 3, we'll give somebody immunity. Now, remember that after last week, I believe Zach Brown had immunity.
He had immunity last week.
And then Mason Foster had it in week 2. Am I right about that? Let's check in at the UMSO news desk to get the latest.
So last week, we had Terrell Pryor kicked off. We all remember that.
Yes.
Zach Brown had immunity last week. Mason Foster has immunity this week.
Good for Mason Foster because he didn't play. So he's really making the most out of this immunity.
And here's the thing. It was such a good game, and everybody played so well that you're going to have to find somebody. And if you didn't have immunity, it may just be one of those, this is one of those times Survivor sucks, where you have to kick somebody off to no fault of their own because you're looking for somebody, right?
So Doxson is gone from week 1. Pryor is gone from week 2, and everyone else is still there, correct?
Ladies and gentlemen, your receivers are the Washington Redskins.
We can't bring Josh Doxson back, who was inexplicably booted when he just wasn't allowed to play. That's disappointing. Terrell Pryor, I can't kick off a second time, right? I can't fire him twice. Is that fair?
No, but I'm guessing there are probably two main candidates for being kicked off.
Who are you thinking?
Rob Kelly.
Who didn't play.
Oh, man.
I'm not a big fan of kicking guys off who didn't play, though. Who
else? Listeners are.
Yes, that's true.
But again, in a game where everyone was great, where they dominated, they were awesome, this is one of those times where Survivor's hard.
You're on to something.
It's easy when they get the doors blown off.
Hold on, who's the other guy?
Jamison Crowder for the fumble.
Ooh, and Jamison Crowder, who's a favorite to represent the offense in the finals of Redskin Survivor.
Man.
But he's put 2 balls on the carpet in 3 weeks.
People hate the receivers. That's what I've learned. Because he was getting votes last week.
I've learned 2 things. 1, you're right. They hate the receivers. Mm. 2, you're more right. People love kicking guys off who don't play. I forgot that in the past. You get hurt for 1 week and you're having an MVP season for this team, you are gone on Redskin Survivor. People do not want to kick someone off who plays even if they play badly. And you might vote Dustin Hopkins off for a second time in 2 weeks because, heaven forbid, he missed a field goal longer than 50 yards.
I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for somebody to blame.
Redskin Survivor at 10:45. Quick peek at the NFC East. The Eagles coming off of an overtime win. I just saw the video for the first time yesterday of the 61-yard field goal
they got at the horn.
No. I'd seen that they won by a 61-yard field goal, but the video's great. Lifting the kicker up for like Johnny B. Good, he's a jolly good fellow on their shoulders and stuff.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. They're 2-1. The Redskins are 2-1. The Cowboys are 2-1. And the Giants are 0-3. What's your take on the East through 3 weeks?
Eagles are better than everybody thought. I think they're for real. Now, last year, remember, they started off great and then just, you know, like a whoopee cushion, just kind of went away. And Wentz really struggled. I don't think they're going to struggle again this year. I think they did enough to improve that offense. It's still not great. It's still not even, I would say, above good. I think they're capable at times. For the most part, it's been the Carson Wentz kind of magic show where he's made some extra plays and done a couple things that are awesome. That's not sustainable to me. But that defense plays. That'll keep them in most games.
They have such a soft schedule coming up.
Yeah.
I looked it up last night. Here is their upcoming schedule at 2-1. They have the Chargers on the road who haven't won yet. That's going to be a competitive game. LA's decent.
In front of 12,000 people.
But that's still a game they're probably going to win. Let's say they get to 3-1. Then they play the Cardinals. Not that good. But you win that game, you're 4-1. Then they're at the Panthers. Is Carolina any good? Cam Newton was awful.
To me, Philadelphia should feast on that matchup.
That's 5-1. They play the Redskins again. They've already beaten them once. They could absolutely beat the Redskins. That's a toss-up game at home in primetime. Let's say they lose just because we haven't given them a loss there, and we'll say they split with the Redskins, but they could easily be 6-1. We'll go 5-2. Then they play San Francisco. So even if you give them a loss to the Redskins or in one of those games we're not predicting, that's 6-2 at the midway point of the season.
Very feasible that that could happen, by the way.
Their schedule gets a little bit tougher after that with games against the Broncos and the Seahawks and the Cowboys, but they still have matchups with teams like Chicago. That last place schedule that they've got is a great benefit. They look to me like they're off to a start that could get them to 10 wins.
Now, the other part of the NFC East is obviously what the Giants are doing. We could spend hours on that as to why they're that much of a disaster. To me, Dallas is somehow doing it again with defense. That's what's been amazing these last couple years. Everybody points to the run game and how awesome that line is and everything else. A defense of Jags, of guys that are just guys, are overachieving again. Last night, DeMarcus Lawrence is the most unblockable player in football. When did that happen? Malik Collins is killing people? These dudes from Dallas that are just okay are all of a sudden just feasting and killing people. That bothers me to no end.
It's been a case defensively for them for a few years.
Let's
get into the Redskins next. Through three games, what were you most wrong about? I've got a list of things I was wrong about.
Me
Danny's
too.
Got a few items to hit on. They've played, to this point, 3 weeks of football. We've learned a lot about this team. Coming into the year, we all had thoughts, predictions, proclamations. What have you been most wrong about? 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.